Least we can do is give him food and shelter. Then tell him what's happened. Maybe Jack will want to help.
Yeah, maybe he'll fuck off like before.
Despite his fervor, the tattooed man's remark was ignored by the people. After a brief discussion among the elders of the settlement, the companions were shown to one of the tree houses. Before they were taken to their billet, they were stripped of their blasters. They also took JB's canvas bags with the ammo and plastique, his Tecna, and Ryan's Panga. They ignored the scarf around Ryan's neck, which was weighted at the ends to form a garrote if wielded correctly. They also left Jack with his patched jacket, failing to remember or to recognize that it contained his throwing knives.
You stay here. Zena and Kyle will stay with me.
Marissa led them up the rope ladder and into the rickety construction. Inside, there were a few sticks of furniture, but the house, only 14 feet square, was sparse. The doorway was covered by an old screen door, and there was a small chimney hole in the ceiling for ventilation and light. The light itself was provided by a small tallow lamp in one corner, which cast long shadows over the far wall and ceiling. It was going to be a tight squeeze to fit all six of them, and as the treehouse was built for three or four at most, all of the companions were worried about the structure taking their weight.
Shit, you lucky if that's all you get. Some of them down there won't chill you now, in case you come from the Baron. So you lucky you got somewhere. Don't argue about it. Up here, you easy to guard. Wait now, I guess you win. It's time to eat.
Great. Why do I get the feeling that the meal's not the only thing that's going to give me heartburn? And another thing, what on earth do they have against Jack?
Jack knew only too well why he was resented by many of these people. And while they waited, he told Mildred about his previous life in the bayou. How he had met Ryan, J.B., Christy, and Doc. He continued by detailing how his father, who had led the resistance against Baron Tourmont, had been tortured and killed before they'd had a chance to eradicate the sick Baron and his regime. He also told Mildred why they resented him. With his father gone, he was next in line to lead. Certainly he had the necessary combat and hunting skills to be a Baron, but instead of taking the reins, he opted to leave the bayou. Obviously some of the residents of the settlement felt that he could have made a difference, and that he had betrayed them by leaving. The companions didn't have to wait long. They were discussing what options they had open to them. Whichever way they looked at it, it always added up to wait and see. When LaRue pulled his barrel-chested frame over the lip of the doorway.
Marissa made sure you get to eat, and get to hear what's going down. Then you get to decide.
Decide what?
You gotta decide whether you with us, or we find some way of getting rid of you.
One after the other, they descended the rope ladder until they were all under the watchful eye of LaRue, Prideaux, and another pair of sec men. One of these had one eye, like Ryan, except that his scar ran across the bridge of his nose and down, dragging his lip into a permanent sneer beneath his eye patch. The other guard looked a little like Prideaux. He, too, had tattoos and a ponytail, except that he was less lithe, more muscular across the chest and shoulders. Both men were carrying remade Sharps rifles, and both in that deceptive manner, with the blaster pointing down, but the grip right for a quick aim and fire. Prideaux led them across the shore of the pond, past a couple of huts, until they came to one that was larger than the others. Inside, the room was hot, lit by tallow lamps and filled with steam rising from the wooden platters that were lined up on the table that centered the room. Filet gumbo, black-eyed peas, some kind of pumpkin that had a strange pink tint to it, sweet potatoes and hunks of meat that looked like it might be pork were piled high on the platters. The smell of the food reminded them that they had eaten little else but self-eats for several days. Much to their surprise, the atmosphere within the shack was far more congenial than they had expected. Marissa was there, as was the man Jack had seen on their way in. He was reserved when he was introduced, but certainly less hostile. His name was Beausoleil, which Jack recognized. The man had known his father back in West Lowellton, and they had worked together to try to build the resistance. Jack could see why Beausoleil would see his leaving as a betrayal, no matter his true reasons. Marissa bade them to eat, and they did so. It wasn't until they began to pile their plates with the steaming food that they realized how long it had been since real food, not self-heat, chem-processed garbage, had passed their lips. They noticed that the settlement dwellers also ate ravenously. Doc stopped, a quizzical expression crossing his face, and watched a while before speaking.
I'm aware of why we are so voracious, yet you also eat as though you had been starving.
Some say that we use too much of our stocks to welcome you, impress you. Some say that you will help us fight Dr. Jean if you think we have much to offer. What they do not realize is that while we may be able to lie to you like this, we cannot lie to our own stomachs.
You mean to say that you've been rationing your food and now you're spending your reserves just to impress us? Are you people crazy?
Crazy? It crazy to want to live free and not hide? It crazy to risk a few less days' food or get a set force that can smash Jean and his stoop veal? Yeah, then crazy it is. But stoop old bastards like Beausoleil are more crazy. They want to die like rats slinking in the mud.
Things not that bad. Could be worse. We free, we hunt, and so if we don't catch, we make do. How many of us? How can we go up against Jean? Maybe some people think slinking in mud better than throwing ourselves in a firefight we can't win. Better a live rat than a chilled hero. Or is that what you want, Marissa? You want to be like your pa and be a chilled hero that no one remembers?
Oh, why, you stinking...
They rolled on the floor, fighting and yelling curses at each other until two of the other dwellers pulled them apart. Prieto dusted himself down and smiled slyly.
You see why this is pointless? Jack Lawton left the swamp for good reason. Because he knew we were too stooped to survive for long and weak enough to let some other corrupt band come in and take over. And that's exactly what happened. So we waste food trying to persuade him and ones who took him away to come back and do our dirty work for us. Because half of us don't want to do it and the other half is so hot-headed they would die as soon as a firefight started. If we fight among ourselves, soon Dr. Jean's gonna find where we are and come for us. And when he does, some of us are just gonna die. Some of us gonna get in line and worship his ugly ass. Just gotta make up your minds which.
Beausoleil walked up to Jack so that he was staring him in the face. So close that Jack could feel his hot breath.
You should never come back, son. We'd be better off giving up or chilling ourselves. This is no way to live.
Slowly, and with no sign of the pent-up anger that had spurred him, he turned and walked out of the hut. He left a room that was now silent. The settlement dwellers didn't know what to make of this outburst, particularly in the case of Marissa, as it blew any chance she had of showing a united front to the travelers. They were a small settlement in disarray that had little food. Carter's people knew nothing of this new baron, or his far-reaching powers. There had been mention of voodoo, or something that traded on the old ways, and this baron seemed to have little trouble in sweeping his way through the bayou. Ryan was left with a tough choice. Did they stay and involve themselves with problems that weren't their own, or did they move on and find the redoubt? The first thing they had to do was stop the villagers from arguing and get some answers that made sense.
Fire blast! Can any of you people just give a straight answer? Maybe we can help you if we know what the hell we're supposed to be up against. So far, you haven't told us anything that makes sense.
Marissa looked around at the four other settlement dwellers in the room. She began to speak, and while she told their story, the other dwellers remained silent. It seemed that soon after Baron Tremont had been routed by the companions on their first trip to the bayou, the entire swampland had descended into war. The people who had been ruled by Tremont couldn't come to terms with a different way of living. It seemed to them too soft. The irony was that it took more strength to try to live in a fair society than it did to face up to an oppressor. Small groups began to appear, all vying for power. None of them had a man of the physical and mental stature of Tremont. Tremont was a perverted and sadistic lunatic as well as a giant of a man, but he also possessed a great intellect and an instinctive understanding of gaining and maintaining power. There had never been anyone like him in the bayou before. But there had been one man biding his time, Dr. Jean. There had been rumors that he had been one of Tremont's sectmen and had watched and learned from the master. Other rumors suggested that he had come from out of the bayou. If that was the case, then he had picked up the ways and superstitions of the bayou with ease. Whatever the truth, the only thing known about him for certain was that he had appeared deep in the swamps with this name that no one had heard before, and he started to attract followers with his use of voodoo ceremony and talks of going back to the old ways to go forward into the new, better world. The old ways were still spoken of, but no one had taken them seriously for generations. The fact was, when the old world had been eradicated by Skydark, the notion of spirits and ghosts had vanished. But this new talk of it meant a chance to dress up, to go wild. Perverse sexual rites and blood sacrifice were all part of the old ways espoused by Dr. Jean. Rumors also spread that ghosts and demons had been seen at his rites, conjured up by his hand. Perhaps, after all, there was something to the old ways. It soon became apparent that these were mere hallucinations caused by the powerful drugs he was giving to his followers. They had the same high and addictive kick of Jolt, but were cut with a potent hallucinogen. Even when the truth of the spirits became known, people no longer cared. Those who were addicted followed him blindly. Others wanted to be part of his vill because he offered them something other than the existence they already dreaded. As if that weren't enough, he had another weapon in his armory. Old tech resources. He had computers and other items that had the effect of subjugating any who might prove difficult in his quest to rule the bayou. To Ryan's people, this sounded like some of the brainwashing weaponry developed by the White Coats of the Totality concept, which they had encountered through their travels. Their chief concern was the question of where he had obtained this equipment. Did it mean the redoubt they had been headed for was now under the jurisdiction of Dr. Jean, filled with sec forces? Had he worked out how to operate the Matrans unit? But these questions would have to wait. Marissa had more to tell. For Dr. Jean had a master plan. Once he'd gathered the people together and placed them under his control, he planned to use them as an army, to spread out and seize the Deathlands, ruling it according to his own ideas of preserving regional purity. He was clearly insane. And worse, he had the power to go with that madness.
So we have to stop him. If he get more powerful, then we chill me anyway. At least if we go trying to stop him, we go free. No matter what Predo say, we not be free for long.
You don't expect us to answer without discussing it among ourselves. We'll talk first, then we come back to you.
Ryan led the companions out of the hut. They didn't go back to their treehouse, but instead walked down to the edge of the pond, where curious eyes followed them from the huts and treehouses beyond.
I figure that this Dr. Jean is nowhere near as powerful as Marissa says. Even if he is, he won't be able to manage that manpower once he gets beyond the swamps. At the same time, we're likely going to have to get past him to get to the redoubt and get out of here.
While I broadly agree with your reasoning, my dear Ryan, I feel we should turn to the good Mr. Lauren for guidance. He knows this area and the people far better than we. So, what do you say?
Jack said nothing. He shook his head noncommittally and turned away. They let him wander off into the darkness. Jack kept walking until he was sure that the settlement was far behind him. Then he sat on the rocks by the pondside. He was trying to reconcile his thoughts and feelings when he heard a noise behind him. In an instant, he was on his feet, one of his knives in his hand, balanced for attack. He halted himself when he saw that it was Marissa emerging from the darkness.
Figured you'd find this spot, only one around here that's away from the other bastards, and dry enough to sit and think. Lost my family to Dr. Jean. Lost my dreams, too. Got nothing except those miserable bastards back there.
Yeah, figured everything was gone. Nothing left inside now. Pa was chilled by Tomon. Didn't want to stay. I knew others would keep fighting. They carried on. I left, made a new life, a family on my own. They were taken away from me. The bastards responsible paid for it, but it didn't bring my wife back. I never seen my daughter grow up. But I still had something. I belonged here, even if I wasn't here. But now, even that's gone. Like tree roots ripped up, tossed aside.
Jack couldn't remember the last time he talked that much in one go, and when he let something of what went on inside come out for someone else. But he figured Marissa would understand better than Ryan or the others. She was from here, too.
So, what you gonna do about it? Walk away 'cause there's nothing left for you? Or try and get some of it back? Fuck it, Jack Lauren. I knew you were sent to save us. How else, why else would you be here right now?
And to Jack's surprise, she grabbed him and kissed him. Long and hard. It had been a long time since he had felt a woman this close to him.
Hey, Jack Lawrence, we don't have to go back and tell the good news right away, do we?
She pulled away from him for a moment and began unbuttoning the front of her dress.
Not much else worth doing till sun up anyway.
Jack swallowed hard. Marissa carried an intensity in her that matched his own. Her loyalty was almost intoxicating, as was her beauty. She peeled off her dress, revealing breasts both full and firm. Her hair swept down to her shoulders, almost invisible in the weak light of the moon. Jack rose to his knees and faced her full on. Strong, cautious hands, more often used in combat, brushed against her shoulders and found no resistance. She pressed against him, pulling him into a longer kiss. She tasted of home. The meal they'd shared had brought back memories of Jack's adolescence, and now her breath filled him, leaving him hungry for more. She tugged his shirt away, his bone-pale skin almost glowing against the night air. They were both cool to the touch. Marissa put his hand on her breast and wrapped her arms around his back, pulling him closer still. He felt himself grow rigid against her. It certainly had been a long time since Jack had known any tenderness, and it was a most welcome surprise from someone as outwardly abrasive as the woman kneeling before him now. Muscles trained for deadly fighting proved equally useful for other, more affectionate sorts of conflict. A ray of sun crept across the rocks, penetrating the cloud and foliage cover, and woke Jack with a start. He blinked, turning his face away from the light, and found himself looking into the face of Marissa.
Hey, you ready to go? If you were serious last night, then the sooner we get going, the better.
Jack merely nodded in return, hauling himself to his feet and dressing. Despite the warmth of the sun, he felt chilled to the bone through having spent half the night asleep and naked in the open. He had to take his patched jacket from over Marissa, where the woman had dragged it when half asleep. Without exchanging words, they both dressed and set off through the swampland, heading back to the settlement. Sometime during the night, he had asked her why the place had no name, and she had told him that they had always felt it had been a temporary settlement, and so had never given it one.